Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Podcast. I'm your host, Mexico Mike Broadbent. Joining me once again is my co-host, Richie O'Leary. We have a commitment to talk about. Richie was at the Under Armour camp in New Jersey yesterday. One of the best camps he's ever seen, is what he said. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about one of the top players in New Jersey who's scheduled an official visit, who's committed elsewhere. I'll talk about the basketball portal, give you an update on that. But first, this podcast is presented to you by Night and Day Apparel. Calling all Rutgers students, alumni, and fans, are you looking for new and unique Rutgers merchandise? Night and Day Apparel has you covered, from t-shirts to hoodies, drinkware to pet accessories. Night and Day focuses on providing the Rutgers community with exclusive, one-of-a-kind tailgating products. Be sure to check out the links in today's podcast description to their website and social media so you can stay on top of everything Night and Day, including new merch drops, promotional announcements, and more. Shop now and keep shopping. All right, let's talk about the commitment that we got a few days ago from another North Carolina guy. So props once again to Scott Pallone for building that pipeline down to the Tar Heel State. Mm-hmm. Rutgers landed a commitment from Isaiah Deloach. He goes by Zay. He is from Hillside High School. He's a 6'1", 205-pound linebacker prospect. Tell us what Rutgers is getting in Isaiah Deloach.
Just a speedster. he's got a 10.6, I believe it was, 100-meter dash. Convert that into a 40-yard dash. I believe it's like a 4.5, 4.48, something like that. Really fast guy. Was a safety previously up until his junior year this past season, where he switched mostly to linebacker now. So he's going to be a linebacker at Rutgers. He's got the speed to keep up with tight ends. He's got the read and react skills to also keep up with tight ends when the ball's in the air. He is quick to just change directions pretty easily. And he seems like that speed could be used off the edge a little bit too in the future. Now, he is skinny. He's 6'1", 208, but that's fine. I mean, which high school kid doesn't need to pack on weight? But no, I think this is a really good get. This is a middle of the pack North Carolina kid. And if he was in New Jersey and playing for the Big North is like what we all like to compare him to, I think he'd be a 5.7, even like a borderline 4-star. Like this kid, as long as he's a good senior season, could continue to blow up. And this is just another speedster out of North Carolina. You got Benjamin Black in the previous one, previous recruiting class. You got Stephen Murray now. You got Isaiah Deloach. These are just all speedsters from the Mid-Atlantic, I guess you can call it.
Yeah, squarely in the Mid-Atlantic there. So what would you say his game reminds you of if you had to compare it to, you know, a past Rutgers player?
It's like a mix of like a type of kind of like a Deion Jennings type, because he started out at safety and moved down to linebacker. Also, he's got the speed and the coverage skills, honestly, of like a Tyrene Powell. It's a weird combination to put those two together, because I guess it's really not that weird. But yeah, you know, he's just got that speed. That speed is just game changing. And I think his coverage skills are actually pretty good. And that obviously comes from him being a safety for majority of his life. He should be able to drop in his zone and pick up running backs, pick up tight ends. I think he's just going to really fit like well in today's game, especially with the tight ends who are more of a receiver type than anything else. But that it's going to be interesting to see how that straight line speed translates more towards the football speed when it comes to playing at the next level, because I'm not sure how good Hillside North Carolina is. It could be good. It could not be good. But it doesn't seem like they're the best in the world. But we'll wait and see kind of how this translates to the next level. And that's going to be on the coaching staff to develop them. But the skills are there.
So you mentioned he's a track star. He's also a guy who plays a lot of roles for his football team. Talk about kind of how Hillside uses him and kind of how extensively they use him.
Yeah, so he's played that hybrid role a little bit over the past year. Mostly linebacker, but he's also played that safety hybrid linebacker that Rutgers tends to love, so it makes sense there.
Yeah, box safety. Yep.
Yeah, he also plays he's their starting punter, which is interesting. He averaged like 37 yards a punt, I think it was, what I was looking at the other day. He had a 62-yard punt last year, too, which is like kind of wow. Crazy. I know, obviously, the ball could bounce crazily down the field once in a while, but it's still a pretty impressive punt for a guy that doesn't punt ever. Kick returner. That's basically the gist of it. But he also played baseball, he told me, for a little bit of his life, and he kind of thinks that's where that read and react type skills. You see that ball in the air, and it's like, oh shit, go back. And he was playing outfield, he said, for his baseball team, but he ended up giving that up because he said it was too slow for him, which is ironic considering he loves track, loves football, and he's fast as shit. So,
yeah, so big time athlete, really good pickup. Love to hear these kind of things. Does he give us an in with any other North Carolina targets that Rutgers is after?
Yeah, so he's been working out with a trainer down in North Carolina for the past couple years. And that, along with working out with that trainer, is Tayshaun Alston, one of Rutgers' top linebacker / edge recruits right now. He's probably an edge at the next level. He's already 6'4", 220. But when he packs on a couple more pounds, it's like, all right, you're going to start pushing towards that like stand-up edge rusher type role. But yeah, no, I mean, they've been working out together since their freshman year of high school. They're both very close. You saw Tayshaun quote tweet, I think it was our commitment tweet, saying like, hey man, like good luck, congrats. And of course Isaiah's like, come with me, like come join me. And he said he's going to recruit him quite a bit. He will be on campus on June 7th for an official visit, Tayshaun Alston. But the competition there is a little bit tough. It's not going to be easy. He has a top six right now of Georgia Tech, North Carolina, Rutgers, South Carolina, Virginia Tech, and West Virginia. Out of those schools, he only has four officials, and that's the South Carolina, North Carolina, Rutgers, Virginia Tech. So obviously the Carolinas are trying to keep him home. We'll wait and see, but it sounds like Rutgers is in a really good spot right now. And again, you got to give credit to Scott Vallone. He's built those relationships down in North Carolina from the ground up, and it seems like they're working now better than ever.
Love to hear it. Let's move on to the Under Armour camp you were at yesterday. You know, you guys didn't have the best weather in the area. Can't really relate to that personally, but you said it was one of the best camps you've ever been to. Talk about how the camp went, kind of some of the top talent that was there, and who won some of the awards at the camp.
Yeah, so it was actually one of the better camps I've been to in recent history, because a lot of these camps nowadays, kids are just like, I'm not going to these. Like, there's no point. But this one, this is going to be the last camp for people to basically earn an Under Armour All-American invite, because the game's going to transition in the future. This is the last year where the game will be seniors only, and in the future, it's going to be underclassmen. And it sounds like they're just going to take mostly underclassmen going forward. So it does throw a little wrinkle into things, but you have to go to the camp to earn that invite, hence why everyone showed up. Bryce Underwood, one of the top two players in the country, I think. He might be number three for us. At quarterback was there, LSU commit. Matt Zollers, a Missouri commit at quarterback. Malik Washington, one of the top 200 kids in the country at quarterback. And out of all those, not one of them won the quarterback MVP, which is crazy to me.
Wow. But,
Cole Gear, the Virginia kid going to University of Virginia, actually won MVP at quarterback, which was impressive. I think John Forrester got a little screwed out of the running back MVP award. Obviously a top Rutgers guy, target. But they gave it to Mekki Nelson, who had a very good day in his own right. But Forrester's like one-on-ones. Like you see all the all-purpose skills and why he's listed as an all-purpose back. His receiving skills are just at a different level compared to most of these running backs. And he's just so easily like the minute he's the ball snapped, he can just get away from the DB so easily. He's wide open every play. He catches everything. And to catch everything in the rain that was there yesterday and that awful wind and everything, even when the quarterbacks, like some of the quarterbacks, like these are top tier QBs and they were struggling. But if that ball got anywhere near him, he was catching it, and he just seems like a really talented prospect. Some good wide receivers from Jersey. Dez Jones, who's going to Ohio State, was pretty good. Lyric Samuel, Erasmus Hall kid, going to Penn State, was pretty good. He won MVP. I'm trying to think who else. Larry Moon, a 2027 kid who Rutgers offered out of Central Catholic PA. He won DB MVP. And then DJ McQuarrie won linebacker MVP. Now, DJ McQuarrie is not a guy we've talked about in recent months, I guess. I think he committed to Penn State 8 months ago, 9 months ago. But Rutgers has been pushing nonstop, I'm told. They actually got him to schedule an official visit for May 31st. So it's something to keep an eye on because he has been committed to Penn State for a long time. Now, Penn State has a policy similar to Rutgers, whereas if you're committed, you're not visiting anywhere else. So it'll be interesting to see if that visit ends up happening or not. I know they're probably going to push him to not take it, but we'll wait and see what kind of happens there. But overall, great camp. I even mentioned a defensive lineman, Jaden Mann, actually, offensive lineman, go back. Cardinal Hayes kid who visited campus recently told me he's going to setting up a Rutgers official visit. So keep an eye on that one. Going to defensive line, Jermaine Kinsler, who's cousin, I think, Ian Kinsler. No, Ian Kinsler's the baseball player. Too many Kinslers. Jordan Kinsler, the running back at Rutgers, is his cousin. His uncle is Latish Kinsler, who runs the football side of Lifestyle Sports Agency. Lifestyle Sports Agency represents Kaj Sanders and multiple other New Jersey prospects, along with a notable basketball prospect named, what's his name? Ace Bailey. And Jermichael Davis as well, too. So there's a lot of little connections there, but yeah, I'm intrigued to see what going back to DJ McQuarrie. I want to see if they can pull it off. They've been pushing them very hard. They've been doing just about everything they can to get him to campus. They got it scheduled, so now they just got to make sure he gets to campus and kind of go from there.
Great to hear. Were there any Rutgers commits at the event?
Yes, forgot about that. Renick Dorillis was there. He did end up getting hurt. I don't know what the details of that one were. I actually didn't see the injury myself. I was on the others because they separate the fields and it's stupid. I wish there was all just one, but there's so many kids you kind of have to. Otherwise, kids are going to get one rep and that's it. So I'm like basically, so we do, if we have multiple rivals guys there, which we did, we split it up. So I'm on this side, he's on that side or vice versa. So I'm watching this and all of a sudden I get a text and he's like, hey man, Renick's on the ground right now. And I'm like, wait, ah, shit. Like of all people, so. I don't know the extent of it. Probably won't find out until like today, later today. And that's if it's that bad. If it's that bad, he obviously goes to the doctor, you get the scans, all that stuff back, but you won't hear that back till today, maybe tomorrow. He looked good in the couple reps I have on tape. I'm going to tweet him out in momentarily. But besides that, there was one rep where he went up against a very, very tall receiver. And if you know Renick Dorillis, he's very, very skinny. And he tried to play press coverage at the line and it didn't work, which I'm like, he just fell backwards. It's a rough look. I'm not going to tweet that one out, but but he's a good prospect. You just got to pack on some pounds. He needs to pack on the weight.
Yep. Well, hopefully he's all right. You hate to see a guy get hurt in a camp setting, but let's just hope it's something that's not too major.
Yeah.
Anything else from the camp or football related before we move on to some hoops?
So Gavin Wimsett, who we've talked about in recent pods, of course, because the whole quarterback thing. Rumors are he's probably going to go to New Mexico State. Now, what's the extent of that rumor? The guy's followed just about every New Mexico State Twitter account there is. He's followed the recruiting staff.
In the last few days,
by the way, mind you. He's every coach he followed is recent, like just followed all the 12 or 10 coaches, whatever it is, followed like every recruiting staffer, followed both basketball teams, the athletic director, the this and that, like anyone that has New Mexico State in their bio, he probably followed. So it's an interesting one. I don't know. I guess he would be the starter because I think we said it off pod. They lost their quarterback.
They did lose their quarterback, but they added a transfer from, ironically, the University of Kentucky.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will say, so what, Rich? You know, anybody could follow a bunch of people from one staff. Did he follow any other staffs the way he did the New Mexico State staff?
No. So,
yeah,
there you go.
This is like the only one. Yep.
Yeah. It's basically done, I feel like, if I had to guess. But that's just a guess. He did follow one coach from Utah State, but that's just, I don't know. That's a weird one.
But yeah, I mean, they coach, do have not Jordan Love in the NFL now, so who knows. So stay tuned there. If he ends up taking a visit there, don't be surprised at all. But wish Gavin the best. He took a chance on Rutgers when there wasn't really much to sell on the university. Came in early. He had to deal with a lot of transition, but he, you know, we'll see how things end up for him.
Yeah.
Let's talk some hoop.
I do want to throw this out there just because I've seen it on social media. Like, what are we doing? Like, we're thinking there's some giant conspiracy theory that, like, Gavin Wimsett got screwed over. Like, stop. Like, that's just the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And don't tell me, like, you know, I have sources of this. Like, no, dude, I watched every practice. I could tell you right now, like, it was night and day. Ironically, our sponsor, Night and Day Apparel.
That's a good one.
Yeah, but it was obvious. Everyone says it.
I think
everyone saw the same thing.
If anything, he had more opportunities than like any quarterback Greg has ever coached in college to prove themselves. So it's totally disingenuous. I totally agree to insinuate that there's some conspiracy against Gavin or that a bunch of media folks were, you know, trying to run him out of town. That's total crap. Like, I get it. We all grow attached to these guys, especially when they come here and, you know, they're highly rated recruits, but everybody who is a Rutgers fan has the same goal in mind, and that's for Rutgers to succeed. And some people have different ideas of how success should or could or has to look, but ultimately we're all on the same team here. So, anyway, let's move on to some hoops. Rutgers is still continuing to look for some portal transfers, still looking for a shooter, still looking for a big man. Again, we still have 6 weeks roughly to get the full roster together before the team gets on campus. What are you hearing in regards to the two remaining open spots on the roster?
Well, one of them is definitely going to be a shooter. Who's that shooter? It's a guessing game. Best guess right now would probably be PJ Hayes, the University of San Diego kid who just answered last week, I think it was. Listed Rutgers right away as one of the targets. Coach Smoke reached out to him right away, and then he had a phone call with Coach Peichel a couple days later, or a day later, 2 days later, whatever it was. He's a kid that I would really love for them to land because he's just he's exactly what they want. He's not a guard. He's like a wing type. He's 6'6", 215. I'm trying to pull up his exact numbers right now, but 42% from the field, 40% from three, 80% from free throws. That's basically like the perfect fit almost. Definitely a guy that they could definitely use. And did he come off the bench with them or anybody started, but he only played like 24 minutes a game. So it's a guy that really fits the mold perfectly. He could start if need be, could come off the bench if need be. I'd keep a close eye on that one. I wouldn't be surprised if he visited sometime soon. So that's the one spot. And the other spot, it's tough because I keep hearing that they're involved with Supreme Cook. They're going to keep looking at him. But now there's rumors out there that he's going for like $500K now or asking for $500K. If he's getting $500K, I'll tell you right now, they're not going to give $500K to a middle of the pack, like just a meh center. Like, he's good. He's small. But like, I'm not going to pay $500K for the guy. Whereas like Georgetown still needs a center now because Cliff didn't choose them. And they're kind of like, hey, maybe we'll just up our offer for Supreme Cook and just bring him back.
Yeah.
So they're in a weird spot. I don't know if they're going to get a center or not. I think it'd be insane for them not to get a center. I think that's you're basically capping yourself at like the round of 32 if you don't get a center. And that's like it. Maybe the Sweet 16. But I think you're pushing it there because I really like Lathan Summerville. I think he could be a starter at the end of the season, but the first like half of the season, you need someone that's not Emmanuel Ogbo playing serious minutes at the five.
Yeah, they need more depth. Right now, they can't run into the season with just two big men on the roster and Ogbo and Somerville. I do want to fill in some more details on PJ Hayes. So PJ Hayes is a kid who started out at a college called Black Hills State University, which sounds like a fake school that like a high school or, like a college, like Blue Mountain State. That's what it reminds me of, Black Hills State.
4,000 students.
So he was at D2 University. He was there for 3 years, ends up leaving, ends up going to San Diego. He started all 32 games for them last year. Like you said, he only played about 26 minutes per game.
Yeah.
But he took about 6 threes a game and was hitting 40%. So he's a high volume shooter, hitting a huge clip. He's a 80% free throw shooter. He averaged 3 rebounds a game, 1 assist a game, 1 steal a game roughly. So this is basically just a spot up shooter. He's not going to give you a whole lot in terms of, passing or rebounding, but he's gonna line up in the corner, he's gonna line up at the top of the key and just knock down open shots, which is what you need because he's gonna have spacing. And like you said, he is in contact with the staff. It sounds like Rutgers is in a really good position here, so stay tuned more on that. The center stuff is crazy. If you believe some of the numbers that are coming out according to Trilly, based on what Cliff got, it does sound a little inflated, but he's claiming that Cliff got $1.4 million. Mm-hmm. Not sure I believe that. But
I don't know, because Tipton tweeted out that Cliff got a $2 million offer. So, I mean, dude,
from Georgetown, yeah.
Damn.
Yep.
So it adds up a little bit, but it's just insane to pay him that much money. Like, he's good.
It is.
Yikes.
And I wonder how much of these offers are like either, some of these NFL contracts get posted and it's like he signed a 4-year $130 million deal, but then when you look at the fine print, it's really like a 2-year $60 million deal. I do wonder how many of these NIL deals are like, if you hit incentives or mm-hmm. If you're there for like X amount of time, you can get this much money, but it's not necessarily the full. I don't know, I'm just putting it out there because it seems like the common refrain for these kids is like you go somewhere, you think you're getting this number and you end up getting less. So
I mean,
that's
still
the only reason I'm putting it on
money.
It is. It's a lot of money.
Like,
yep.
It's crazy.
So we wish Cliff well. He was a great Scarlet Knight. He graduated, so he's now an alumni. Mm-hmm. He gave us 4 years, which is more than you can ask for most kids in today's day and age of college sports. Same thing with Nawat. He was here for 4 years. Wish these kids well. It's the ones that leave us in a lurch, like Gavin Griffiths, that you don't send as warm of a goodbye to.
Yeah,
but
it's fair.
Anything else cooking on the basketball front?
No, I mean, people have mentioned. I'm gonna butcher this one. Kostanovski. That's pretty close. I feel like the Monmouth big man played at Tulsa before that. Some people have mentioned him. I don't know how serious that one is. He's a local-ish kid because he played at Monmouth. But I don't know. That's the only other name we're really hearing right now. We're still hearing Supreme Cook is a possibility, but if that number is correct and it is 500, I'd probably count Rutgers out of that. If it is lower, I think they could do it. I think they could probably, if they have to, I think they could probably fork over like $300,000 if they needed to, because that's the other rumor on social media. So who knows? These numbers are crazy. The center market supply and demand right now, it's insane. You see it's not just Rutgers though. Like you see like Louisville, like freaking out, like we don't have a big man. It's like, yeah, you just spent all that money on guards. So that's probably why you don't have a big man.
Yeah.
But it's not just them, but there's still a lot of centers out there. I know people have said, like, if you look at our portal thing, there's only like 49 uncommitted centers, but it's funky because they're also forwards that are centers. Like Amari Williams, Per Drexel, is listed as a forward, and it's like he's not a forward at all. So I just gotta wait and be patient and hope that they get someone. I can't imagine going into the season with Emmanuel Ogbo playing even 10 minutes a game. Like I feel like it's ballsy.
It would be crazy. And if you look at what the current depth chart shows, they only got two big men. They only got, unless you're planning on playing some kind of
Zach Martini.
small ball lineup with Ace Bailey at the five. I mean, Ace could hold up offensively as a five, I think, because he's got such an expansive offensive game. But defensively, I think he would get eaten up in the paint, honestly, by some of the bigger men in the Big Ten. So you'd hope that they would find someone else. Martini also could play a small ball five. He did that at Princeton. He did that against us when they beat us in the first game of the year. So and did that all year. You know, he held Danny Wolf in check during their matchups. So we'll see. I know that the staff is still looking, and ideally they get somebody, but I think they feel they could potentially be okay without one. I hope that that's not the case, because they really could use one, in my opinion, but we shall see.
Yeah, I mean, trying to play small ball five against Omar Ballo, who else is in it? Vlad Goldin, Aaron Bradshaw. Like, these are all like 7 foot. Danny Wolf is right behind him. Like, everyone in the league has like a 7 foot big man almost, or if not 6'10 above. Putting a 6'7 Zach Martini is going to work for maybe some games, but not all games. I don't know. It seems risky. It seems way too risky to me.
Seems risky to me too, but we shall see how things go. But that is all we got. The giveaway contest, the next podcast we record, we're going to do the giveaway. So we have three prizes. Like we said, we have the Rutgers cornhole set. We have the Rutgers football stitch jersey, and we have Dylan Harper, autograph card, and that's the order that those are going to get given away in. So if you want to end up entering this contest, you can write in the YouTube comments below, gimme, 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 or you can write a review on Apple Podcasts mentioning gimme, gimme, gimme. Don't just write that, though. Put some nice things and 5 stars only, please. And that'll get you 2 entries if you write the Apple review. We have a bunch of entries already. We just wanted to give everybody ample time. And plus, it's a little difficult for me to do that down here in Mexico. Yeah. So by the time I get back, we'll have that all together. But that's all I got. Rich, do you have anything else you wanted to hit on before we head out?
Not that I know of. Kind of just waiting to see what happens with the basketball thing. We're all kind of just sitting here on our hands, just waiting for something to happen. Hopefully we'll get some news in the next week or two, but we got a bunch of articles coming out this week with recruits. A couple articles on – we just posted one this morning, analytical breakdown of Ethan Kallik Manis last year. We'll have an Ajani Shepherd highlight video from the spring game since I wasn't going to do it, but now that he's QB2, might as well do it, right? Why not?
Yeah.
So we'll have a bunch of stuff like that. Baseball, I think they lost 2 this weekend, which kind of sucks, and it's essentially – I think they're screwed. That's really it. Nothing else. I'm waiting on some announcements, hopefully soon, for some out of conference games.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Especially a certain tournament that is looking like more and more it's going to happen. I did have 2 shout outs to programs at Rutgers for some outstanding performances. One is softball. They finished 4th in the regular season standings, which is the highest finish ever for softball in the Big Ten. They got a double bye, I believe, in the Big Ten tournament. Or they got a bye. I don't know how many teams have softball programs, so I don't want to say double bye. Yeah. Also, the Rutgers women's golf program was invited to the first postseason tournament in program history. So big shout-out to them as well. They didn't make the NCAA tournament. They kind of made like the NIT of women's golf. So shout-outs all around. Continuing to have a level of unprecedented success at Rutgers Athletics. You love to see it.
To do that for a team that can't host home matches on their own golf course is incredible. I know they've talked about it. They talked about fixing it. And they're going to eventually, Pat has said, but it's just what a turnaround for the program over there.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we appreciate everybody listening, everybody who's rated and reviewed, everybody who's commented, everybody who's subscribed. You really do help the show grow. And we do not take any of that for granted. Thank you for listening. It's been another edition of the Night Report Podcast. Signing off.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.